So who's no?
We've already covered AC/DC, though. We're not going to revamp that story.
I don't think we covered it all.
We didn't know about what happened when we talked about your evening, so we found that out. There's no double jeopardy.
We found out last week on Thursday.
We've already been condemned.
Protected by the international treaties on podcasting.
Should we close that door? Is Ross coming in here?
Time served.
Oh, I think we're good. We just
closed. Time's already been served. Probation has been.
Time wasn't served. You got out on a.
I think next
legal
week.
Legal loophole there.
Next week on.
Scheduling error.
I think next week at a going away party, we need to have a roasting.
Who's going away
Wait,
party?
Wait, what's. Yeah, what going away party?
Is somebody leaving us?
Our server today.
Rachel is leaving?
Yeah.
Where is she moving? Or
she's moving.
She's moving to Ottawa, Illinois, so she can be a full-time
airplane jumper,
skydiving
instructor
slash so not only do you instruct, you can also rank up so that you can do certain things on your own. So she's qualified to do certain things now. She will qualify the more she jumps to do other things later.
Where is Ottawa, Illinois?
I've never country town is.
I'm sure.
Is that way west or is it
west?
South.
West.
Got to be
west.
Right. If we've never heard of it. It's got to be
southwest.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. But.
So she would rather jump out of a plane than take care of us losers every week.
But that's easy. Come on.
That's my fault, sir.
That's not even trying. Welcome. We are the Worldwide IT Guys. We're here for podcast number 27. We are officially over 6 months old.
Wow.
Congratulations for those of you that have lived with us for that long.
Still not potty trained.
No, not even close.
But you don't have to worry about us dying in the sleep anymore.
And let's see. I'm Steve.
Dion.
John.
Sean.
The usual suspects. We're talking about our wonderful server who's leaving us. So is there going to be some semblance of a farewell? We have to do something, right?
We'll be there on Quesadilla Wednesday to put in our normal order, but
and usual harassment.
So we're going to go and do what we always do with her. Ask her to serve us food.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, just so long as we don't do anything else. So what happened on this AC/DC night that I'm supposed to not ask?
No, it was just a really nice, long, drunken, fun night. It started with the normal morning of meetings that never ended, and then it was like a late lunch, followed by Bourbon County Stout Tap Takeover, followed by trip to see AC/DC, followed by I don't remember how I got home. Somebody said to me.
But
this doesn't have to be about me, guys, all right?
No. But somebody said to me, well, what the heck's going on? I mean, how did this happen? Like, it just rolled right in because they had heard the podcast and they were asking about how did this happen and what happened to that afternoon because that sounded like a big mess.
How did he get accidentally drunk?
Not how did he get accidentally drunk. How did somebody who went to lunch and then came back from lunch in that state and spent the entire day that way? And I said, no. To be fair, Dion said, I'm not going to work Wednesday afternoon. I am off.
Yeah, he was
Wednesday
in the office,
afternoon.
But off.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is the day. This is what I have going on. I'm... it's BCS day. I'm emails. Going to the concert. I know what's going on. I'm not going to be, I may not even be back at the office, but don't expect a lot.
I didn't respond to emails. I did close a couple tickets.
Well, and that's what you should do in that
state. You're like, this is what I can't respond to. In this state, I can't. Yeah.
Email responses were withheld.
Yeah.
I did fix a couple of accounts and go into the cloud. I mean, I could do that in my
sleep. I installed Google Sync again.
Yeah, I mean, I rebuilt an entire server,
Do you know Google Labs used to have... Google used to have Labs, which you could add to Gmail, which were essentially plugins. Mm-hmm. They used to have a drunk send lab. Where it would be like you would plug in your hours where you do your drinking, and it would do like a double, are you sure, before you submit.
I thought you had to solve
it. And then it would even wait, like it would put it into drafts for like 2 hours.
Oh, I like this
before
idea.
It actually sent. So it gave you like, it gave you two layers of fail safes before you could send a drunk message.
No, but John's absolutely right. It actually had a solve a very simple equation to prove that
like
you're all.
Oh, yes, that's right. Yeah. It had a catch bot, but it was like what's 20% of like 320 or something like that. Yeah. And if you like, if you took more than 5 seconds, it's like, no, we're not even going to let you compose. We're not even going to let you compose. You don't want to see this
you
the next day.
You can't figure out the tip on a $20 bill. Forget about it. Forget it. You're done.
Yeah, and I thought it was so funny, but Google got rid of Labs, but yeah.
I think that's brilliant. I can't believe they took it away.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
Speaking of brilliant technologies that we never cashed in on, John had the breathalyzer built into your phone.
Yeah.
We haven't talked about that on the podcast, I don't think.
Yeah.
That was genius, John.
We should have done it.
The year's 2000.
For texting and.
The year's 2003. 2002.
Yeah.
And John has some sort of event in his life that prompts the need for nobody should ever be able to drunk dial certain people. There should be a breathalyzer built into your mobile phone.
And you have a list, and you have a list of people that you cannot.
Set up like you can't dial any ex-girlfriends. You're only allowed to like call your parents and your emergency connections.
It should also know your current status, right? So you're married. No, hell no. You can't do any of this.
If you're single, maybe it gives you a little bit more freedom.
You preset this up though, right?
Sure. Yeah.
So,
black or whitelist people.
Based on you go to pick up the phone, you say something. It picks up your alcohol content via your breath.
Right.
It allows you, it then activates and triggers and says, nope, you're not able to do this because you preset not to do that. And you know what? It still hasn't really been fully fleshed out, John. There's hardware out there to
detect my golden parachute out of here.
Phone, plug in the smartphone port. I don't know. I think the app's still out there.
I like it. So would there be like multiple layers? So it's like, all right, you're at this level of blood alcohol, and based on that, we're just gonna send a text to this person. No, you can't ring them, but we're gonna send a text to this person that's pre-configured. Hey, thinking of you, right? Yeah. Okay, that's good. That's
best
good.
Best wishes to you and your family.
You're a little higher.
But what I said was. Yeah. Hey, you up?
Yeah.
Hey, you up?
You get to point two. You can call La Bamba to get a burrito. Yeah, that's about it. You get a pizza or a burrito.
Yeah. Papa John's and Taco Bell. Yeah, you can figure out where they are.
Well, I've wondered the same thing about like when self-driving cars become ubiquitous. Like, they're probably going to be programmed to just always obey us. You know, but wouldn't it be funny if, like, they had hours where they're like, you're not really yourself right now.
Yeah.
And we're not going to drive to Deerfield so you can go to the one and only Sonic burger drive-through.
Yeah, you wake up.
I mean, like, you're just not going to,
You wake up in the morning in Nebraska because you said go to Vegas.
Yeah, because you don't have to drive.
Let's go to Vegas.
Yeah, I mean, you punched in Vegas. All right, breathe in this too, buddy. We're not sure that's exactly what you should be doing.
Just wake up in a cornfield.
I think I spawned this conversation, guys. Thanks very much. ACDC was great.
There's one more story.
What's one more story?
I guess you're harassing people because
I don't know what you're talking about.
They're bringing their beers. They weren't drinking them all.
Oh, yes.
So you're harassing them and trying to drink their beers as they brought them up.
That's true.
That was at ACDC?
No, that was at Monk's.
Oh, that was at the bar.
So that was the BCS day where they treated us great because in the previous year, there were jerks that were like ordering 3 or 4 at a time. They sold out of certain things. We walked in the door. We ordered the flights. We did our thing. We got the beers that we wanted. Monk's made up for last year, but they with a certain sense of, are you happy now? Because last year we weren't. But anyways,
they created their own Frankenstein.
Exactly. So in my own defense, I was looking at people I was still looking at people going, really? You just ordered 4 of those? That type.
Yeah.
So I mean,
why not though?
You didn't get in any fights.
No. Nowhere.
Nowhere.
I'm a lovable drunk, okay?
Sometimes you don't know you're being loved.
Or if I'm loving, anyways.
They don't know that they're always being loved.
So speaking of lovable drunks, is Donald Trump just drunk?
I hope so.
Is Donald Trump?
He's
for real now, guys. He was funny. Right, it was, yeah. We're gonna joke. Jump
into American politics.
Do you know what's interesting? Do you guys do 538?
Yes.
So they just came out. 538 is the statistical analysis of U.S. politics and sports, basically.
And the reason why they're important is because they were very accurate in predicting presidential nominations.
Traditionally, they've been amazingly
accurate.
This is
Silver's thing?
Yes. Yeah, Nate Silver's. But they've been inaccurate this year. They've been very inaccurate this year.
And they're shaky on NCAA.
Yeah. But anyways, they just had – it actually just came out a few minutes before this podcast, and it was very interesting. Uh-oh. We live in Illinois, which has what's called a loophole primary. And that means – and if you guys voted yesterday, you saw this. You vote for your candidate, and then I had to vote for 9 delegates who are bound to a candidate.
Yes,
and they could
yes.
They could be bound to my candidate, or if I want to spread it around, I can spread it around. Like which if I say, sense. Like, I want this person to stay in the race – but I don't want him to be the principal winner. You can do that. What they found is Trump's supporters are so racist, they wouldn't vote for bound delegates who have foreign-sounding names, even though they were bound to Trump.
God.
So Trump lost, like, 15% of his delegate seats due to the racism. Like, they just voted for American names for the delegates, even if they weren't bound to Trump. It's hilarious. I mean, it's not hilarious,
exactly.
But it's like, I mean, it's it's almost like really, he's got, you know, it's insane.
That SNL skit that showed the Trump campaign advertisement where it's like, oh, I'm going to vote for Trump because of this, and I'm going to vote for Trump because of that. And the woman who's ironing pulls up the KKK hood. And the guy who's carrying the wood out to the fire who says it is actually got a cross burning in his backyard.
Sure.
And it's just like, oh my, yeah, racists for Trump.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was...
The uneducated for Trump.
So funny.
So it's going to be interesting, scary, but you know, we got to think back. It was a joke.
Everybody thought it was a joke.
It's not a joke.
And Sean, in the beginning, you were a supporter.
I volunteered for the campaign. I thought it was so hilarious that this absurd reality star was going to run for president. Like, it seemed absurd to me. I honestly thought there was no chance whatsoever.
You
like,
and I didn't. Ago, both were on the opinion of Trump's going to do this just to F with the GOP.
Yeah.
He's going to get into the race.
I thought he might have real aspirations, but I didn't think anyone would take him seriously.
Right.
But we thought he was just going to get in and be like a stir the pot guy, right? Like,
yeah.
I'm going to get in it.
Sort of like Herman Cain was in the previous cycle.
I'm going to make you think about and say stuff that you are not going to talk about, but at least I'm going to force you to talk about it, right?
And then I'll be out.
And then everybody would be like, oh, this guy's just in it to be a muckraker, right?
Yeah.
And now, is that a term I can use?
You can use that, yeah.
In this generation? I don't know, I'm not sure. Anyway, so he's going to be a muckraker, and he turned into the leading GOP.
It's crazy.
Anyways.
It's completely crazy, and now are we... So you said early on, Sean, that you thought if it was Hillary and Trump, which... Pretty much we're a lock now for that.
Almost, yeah.
That it would be a landslide.
I still feel Hillary will win in a electoral college landslide. Yeah. I feel Trump won't win anything. Like, I don't think he'll win northern states. I think he'll lose. I don't think he'll win Ohio and Florida. I could be wrong, you know.
So here's the,
I mean, I will say this: Trump has proven me wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
At every step, you know, because I'm always
everyone.
Like,
he's out.
Yeah.
But here's the thing I want to know, and I haven't seen stats because we don't have them yet because it's still too new. Actual amount of people who voted for Trump in Illinois, in Missouri, in whatever, like not the delegates that were won. So like, I want to see how many. Total votes he's had in states to see if more people turned up to vote for Trump in Illinois than for Hillary or Bernie.
Well, that's probably true because he's more I don't know. He's facing stiffer competition, but then at the same time, his supporters need to get out. Like, Hillary's supporters don't need to get out as much. I mean, she's won. So I wouldn't feel that's indicative of what'll happen in the general election, because I feel Hillary will get drum up more support
than she is in the primaries, where she'll be like, this is life or death here. I mean, we're up against this man. All right, we're not up against Bernie Sanders, this lovable math teacher. Like, we're up against, you know, Donald,
Mr. Sanders,
saw the Don.
Net worth of Bernie Sanders, God bless his soul, is $330,000 versus Hillary Clinton worth $22 million. Mm-hmm. And it was just kind of like, Bernie.
Yep. Yeah.
We love you, Bernie.
Hey, he did great, though. I mean, I feel, you know, and I think we've talked about it on the podcast. I feel both bases are so angry with the establishment.
Yeah.
And I feel the Republicans were the party that got a guy who tapped into it better.
I don't know if anybody's going to say it, but I will tell you right now, I voted for Bernie because I voted for Bernie because I knew he wouldn't be the candidate who's going to win. But I wanted to, in a very small way, make a statement that said, Bernie's making it really close, Hillary. Bernie is pushing you on delegates and actual people who are voting right
now. if you're following it, I mean, Hillary Clinton has adopted a number of things from Bernie's almost verbatim in a lot of cases.
I hate bringing up SNL, but they do such a good job of satirizing what is happening in real life that the Hillary Clinton turning into the Bernie Hillary monster or whatever combination. It was so funny.
So he's had a positive impact is my point.
Yes.
You know, if people like this and this is what people want to hear, you know, you go, well, she's not really convicted. She's just trying to get votes. And that's the other side of the argument.
Yeah.
But
I will also say as a, like an opposition to that, Dion, though I love Bernie Sanders and I would probably in an ideal world prefer him as my president, I voted for Hillary because I also in 2000 voted for Nader in Ohio where Gore lost because of the Nader vote, essentially.
So it's because of you that we have...
You know, well, but I mean, you could say the same thing for, you know, like, I do think...
In the primary general.
No, that's a general.
Right.
But
so
no, but
I'm not saying I would do that in a general.
No, I understand that, but what I'm saying is... I think you have to look at electability now, and I don't think Bernie Sanders would beat Trump in an election.
I'm not looking at electability. I'm looking at let's make a statement to Hillary.
No. But what I'm saying is if he actually won all the primaries and became the Democratic candidate, I don't think he'd beat Trump, personally.
I don't think anybody's going to let Trump go up against Hillary.
Oh, really? Oh, you think...
Well, that's the other piece to this puzzle. I am very interested to see what happens with the convention.
I don't see how they take it away from him now without ruining that party.
I agree. I agree.
If he wins the delegates straight up, he's locked in to go head-to-head against Hillary.
He's not going
to...
Apparently, it's almost statistically impossible for him to get the actual, like, 1,300.
I hope so.
He's never going to get it.
But he's going to be so much... Like, the next highest guy is going to be, like, below 600.
It doesn't make a difference with our governments. They can pick and choose whoever they want.
They can, but what does that say to your base? That the guy that came 2% away from...
Doesn't make a difference.
It may not make a difference to them, but that's a message to the voters that we don't give a fuck about you.
Right. We don't care. Right.
Yeah.
And that's why this is the piece that intrigues me the most. You know, this is not what I ever wanted to see. But now that it's happened, now I'm really curious what's going to happen.
It's so amazing.
Yeah. With the Republican
who is a presidential historian, who's renowned for all the books she's ever written, was on Meet the Press. And she basically said Trump has had multiple times where he could prove that he was going to be presidential and he's failed to do so. However, when we want to set a precedent for who the country is going to move forward with, she doesn't even believe Trump, even though he'll get 2% away from being the electoral guy, will make it based on the fact that, in her opinion, general election won't pick him to be the guy. So she, a presidential historian, doesn't think Trump has done enough to prove that he can be a president. Therefore, there's justification for the Republican Party to try to claim that they need to pick somebody else to move forward. And this was her statement, not me.
But I feel that's easy for you to swallow as somebody agrees with that perspective.
And it's easy for the establishment to swallow.
Yeah.
But the problem is what you're saying is all these people who are anti-establishment, and that's a reason they voted for this guy, and they've proven that he's
And they need that block to win any kind of election.
But this is why we have delegates. This is why we have open contests at the conventions. This is why we have in general elections. Why we have the
electoral college
because it's a representation of the actual Democratic vote, not the actual right, people.
Where was the opinion when Gore lost?
It went to the Supreme Court,
and everybody was complaining that how can he win the popular vote and lose the election? So we're getting the counter. The Republicans are now dealing with the same thing that the Democrats were dealing with at that time. And it's a very interesting argument. I brought up
this
argument.
This morning, Sean was in the room. Kasich was on the Today Show this morning. Matt Lauer interviewed him. And it was hilarious, that he gets on there and Matt Lauer's like, congratulations on your win. He's like, yeah, well, we feel really strong that we're going to get the nomination and we're going to keep on going. And Matt Lauer's like, that you've been mathematically eliminated from winning. Only one person. Only one person can do it, and that's Trump. He's like, well, we still feel really confident that we can do it. We're going to keep on fighting until we can get the number.
Todd screwed him under the press.
It is true, though, right?
Todd said, hey, do you guys think you have a chance? And he basically opened it up to, yes, we have a chance because this, this, and this, and this. And he's like, listen, you're going to have to win 112% of the remaining votes. 112. and he's like, do you see a problem with that?
No,
not at all.
Not a problem.
And John Kasich, the eternal optimist, was basically like, I don't see where – I don't think you're seeing the full picture.
I don't think, Chuck, if you know how the world runs, but actually men in smoky rooms at the end of the day decide how we do everything. There's a guy up there debating whether he's going to fire you or not right now.
And shadow government. You've already been fired, okay?
Matt Lauer was almost
math
laughing.
Doesn't work right.
Yeah. I'm in contact with the lizard people that control this country, and they tell me I'm looking good. So –
Shawnee's a Christian.
It was funny. Matt Lauer is actually almost laughing when he was asking
questions. Hilarious. The whole time has been hilarious. So, like, Rubio's our guy. He's never won a single thing. Like, he loses. It's just so funny. They're like, don't worry. We're going to put all our base behind.
Did you guys see Rubio go off?
I don't think he's so crazy in the fact that Kasich believes Rubio, who's now out, and Cruz, who everybody hates... He thinks he's the last guy standing who stands a little
last vestige of hope.
Yeah,
but that nobody wants to vote for.
I just like that they have to go to all these losers. I mean, in Trump's parlance, they're actual losers. They lose every race.
And the conversation we had this morning was, what's the last day for the final presidential candidate to actually enter a petition, win some sort of election or delegate, and get in? And they technically, whoever it is, if somebody like Paul Ryan wants to enter the race, he's got another 60 days to enter, win a delegate in some state, and then become a nominee for president. We don't have to worry about for 60 days.
Yeah.
We don't have to worry about it. But if in 61 days nobody else jumps forward, then we're locked in with what we got.
There was another plan that they proposed, like the anti-Trump plan, which they have adopted, is just throw all our support behind whoever in any given state can beat Trump to rob him from the delegate count. But then there were some people saying that you actually get bigwig Republicans from every state to just throw their hat in the ring for like one day. Like basically Mitt Romney, who's a Mormon, just in Utah, he just says, you know what, I'm running for president. And maybe he wins Utah.
Paul Ryan in Wisconsin.
Paul Ryan exactly. And you just have all these, like, Bob Dole in Missouri. Sure. Well, I guess too late now.
Whatever.
But, I just think that'd be hilarious if you had this Hall of Fame presidential all-star team,
trying
to stop them, like Neil Armstrong, just like astronauts and, football players, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
And then Trump, you're a loser. And they, drop, just like a game at a fucking arcade.
He still beats them all. That would be amazing if he beats them all, too.
Yeah. You walk down the moon, so what?
So they're saying today that the latest best course of action would be if Kasich and Cruz would kind of team up.
Oh, that'd be hilarious.
Not if, one quits, but they should actually start working together.
Yeah, sure.
Working to stop
concert.
Trump.
Yeah.
So
it's too late. They should have did that. like 3 months ago.
Well,
We've
beaten this story to death.
Yeah.
It's enough American politics, but I will tell you in my final comment to this, every time I hear anybody ask them, okay, you all hate Donald Trump. You have a million reasons why nobody should vote for him, but you sign a contract that said you will vote and support no matter who comes out of the election as the Republican nominee for president, and they all look at the camera with the eyes that say, oh, fuck. And they say, yes, I signed a contract that said I will support whoever the GOP nominee is. And that's where they F themselves, because they all signed a contract that said, no, we're going to follow the rules and we're going to support whoever comes out of this. Trying to F Donald Trump in the point that he's not going to make it. He's going to support somebody.
Right.
He's not going to be an independent. And guess what? That contract screwed them because he's leading everybody. It's forcing
true.
Everybody yeah. else to say, oh, shit, I signed that contract.
And if you guys,
I can't go back on my word.
I mentioned
and
it.
And that is the reverse. And it's been mentioned, but that is still the main point right now that is ruining their whole candidacy for whomever they put forward right now.
Yeah, so I mentioned it very briefly there. If you guys haven't seen Rubio kind of going off the other day, it was yesterday, I think, before the election or during the election, he just went off about Donald Trump and what he's doing and how it's detrimental to the party, it's detrimental to the country, it's just awful, blah blah
the
blah.
World. Yeah.
He just went off. I thought it was very eloquent. It was like, it was the first time I looked at the guy and went, well, I can get behind this guy. This guy's saying some things that make some sense.
Right.
And still at the end, they were like, yeah, but will you support him if he, gets the nomination? And he kind of did the shrug. And it was that. I think it was the fact that I think I might have to. He never said those words, but...
Yep. Sure, yeah.
He's kind of faced with that reality. So we're going to watch what happens. It's a never-ending fun.
We apologize. The American politics...
But we had to get it out, though. I feel better.
None of the Worldwide IT guys support Donald Trump for president.
Well, I don't know. Sean's still on the fence.
I did get a Christmas card from him.
Oh, excellent.
Said, make America great. With him, with his trucker hat on.
Do you have the hat?
Oh, that's great.
He did have the trucker hat on.
No, you don't have the hat.
Oh, no, I don't. Okay. I should get a...
Make America drunk again.
I don't know what I would get.
Drunk
again.
Next topic.
Make America drunk again.
So, somebody said we should talk about the ELT meetings, and I didn't know what ELT stood for.
Nor did I.
No. I had no idea.
No.
the T, everybody knows what that stands for. Ah, there we go.
The everlasting.
Everlasting transformation.
That's a real term, or is that facetious?
Lord knows.
And this company, who knows? It blends together.
I think the first thing that came to my mind was the never-ending story.
Yeah.
That's like the spin I put on the everlasting transformation, which is just like, we're transforming, and it's going to take X
forever.
Amount of time. So
to me, it sounded like a Buddhist, like the Buddhists and some philosophers feel that way, that the world, like, there's a famous phrase, you can never dip into the same river twice, that the, the world's just in constant state. It almost sounded deep to me.
Ooh.
ELT.
ELT, everlasting transformation, like you're in a constant state of self-improvement.
That's right. I think that's spot on correct.
Mm-hmm.
That follows, other things that this company is embracing these days, right?
Yeah.
So, there's a certain process of continuous development, the agile development.
It never ends.
World in our world, you just keep going.
Yep.
Everything keeps moving. So I like that theory. Does it include, in my case, I was in one of these meetings, and frankly, it was a good meeting. It really was a good meeting with a couple of weird things that started the process. So the team that coordinates these things loves some device, right? Some way of engaging people. And so we started the meeting and everybody was given a puzzle piece.
What?
Okay.
A jigsaw puzzle piece.
Right. Right.
And you had to go in the room that you were in and find someone. There was a match, right? So there were two pieces that should fit together.
Okay.
These little...
Sounds inappropriate.
Yes. These... weird devices to get people engaged. So they were all kids' puzzles. And so is that as deep as you were thinking?
Well, sure. Yeah.
Sure.
You
know. Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah.
I did feel like I was 6 years old for a little while.
That does seem, yeah, you know. Well,
I don't know. Are you best friends with your match now?
Well, no.
I am the gatekeeper. Are you the key master?
We never get referenced Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
That's a good meeting.
That's awesome.
God, speaking of, well, we'll get to movies. Bring that back up. So, no, I never found my mate or match.
Sorry.
In that meeting, nobody did. To start off with, I was an afterthought. So I didn't have a puzzle piece to start with. I didn't have a name tag. I was like perfect in the corner with nothing. Then there was like a moment where you all had to match up your color on your name badge. And because I was an afterthought and they sort of scribbled something on a card.
Oh, geez.
It was like, I don't have a color, so I'm just going to sit this one out. No, no, yeah. Steve, no. No, no.
It almost sounds like you a mixer for like a dating party. For like professional people,
well, did,
like a way to get people to meet. You
so
know,
at the end of the day, I did very well. That's what you need to understand. No.
I got hit it off with a lot of people. Yeah, a lot of phone numbers. Yeah.
Sorry.
The guys loved me. I don't know what's up with that. So besides all of that, this moderator started off with these sections of the meeting, right? There was like a complaint section of the meeting, and then there was a sort of team building section of the meeting, and this and that and the other, and all these different sections of the meeting. But she had a theme song for every one of them, which was another thing that made me go like, what, huh? And it fell so flat the first time she did it.
Yeah.
And she finished going, I don't really know what that one was, so you guys are going to have to, you know, excuse that one. And then she tried two more times to the point where the boss, who was in the room, kind of went, aren't we done with this?
Yeah. It's funny. I remember working at Ernst & Young, and like some of those big companies, and I'm guessing this was with like a big company, this meeting, you know. You know, they have like full-time like meeting facilitators. It's like a role at that company. And they're almost like high school drama coaches where they just get they embrace that role too much, you know. And I remember like we would have meeting facilitators at Ernst & Young where I'd be like, oh, my God. You know, like they would want to, you know, like one of the things for off topic, which is still widely used, is the parking lot. Like we're going to parking lot that.
Oh, yeah.
And this lady would have these detailed drawings of parked Model T Fords that would be her parking lot that she would like write the off topic things in. And then she would have like, you know, Ernst & Young would have these rules, like these meeting rules that you weren't allowed to violate. Like, for example, you weren't allowed to like do a criticism that seemed to be about the person rather than the idea.
Right.
But
right.
like she would like overly like,
you can't say you're a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
But which you can say that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
But what's funny is like she was so not confrontational that she would like overly abide by it. And like it would be like if I said something like, I don't know, Dion, I really disagree with that. I think, and like before I could even get to like why I think maybe we have to go in this programming language, she would go, no heat seeking missiles. Like that was the no heat seeking missiles, Sean. No heat seeking missiles, Sean. And you'd be like in a panic. Like as though I've pointed a loaded gun at him, and I'm like, you know.
Isn't this where?
And
this
I where felt the, like a child.
Isn't this where the yes and comes from?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So if you think something's
you
really,
would have
really
to start
stupid,
with everything with
you
yes
say,
and
yes. Which meant you're a fucking idiot, and he's a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
So we're gonna go on.
Yeah, you would have to do every sentence with yes and, no matter how fundamentally you disagreed with it. You'd be like, you'd have to be like, yes, and then after we go bankrupt, like we'll all have fun in a Grateful Dead cover band or something.
I think one other term that I hear a lot in our office, what we use a lot, is well, in my opinion.
That's a universal, but
know,
yeah,
but
yeah,
like,
but it is a universal hilarious move.
It's a universal like I'm gonna speak out of my ass right now,
yeah.
But it's just my opinion, so it's not fact.
God, well, I live by it.
I live by speaking out of my ass.
Yeah.
John, okay?
That's why I use it. All the
with
time.
All due respect, usually means you're about to say everything you just said is wrong.
Oh,
you know? With all due respect,
I'll never say that though.
Yeah,
that's obviously. With all due respect, yeah. You're an asshole.
I've always liked one might argue because then you don't even believe it. Like, it's not even my opinion.
One might argue.
This is right or this
That's
is wrong.
That's philosophy training 101.
Yeah,
That's
one good. Might argue, yes. you know.
One might argue.
What were some of the others? They had hilarious meeting rules at Ernst & Young.
Well, it was a good meeting, and the way it started, a similar little device that she used was we're going to start with the wailing wall. So okay. This is your opportunity to air your grievances. And
wailing was, being a complaint?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
All right.
So here's the wall.
Is it the wailing wall, an actual wall in Israel?
It is.
Like where you pray to? Yeah. Yes. Okay. All right.
And this is the way that yeah. she
okay.
described
enough.
It and shared it was, here's the wall, and you guys shout out whatever is bugging you,
yeah.
and I'll write them on these Post-its, and we'll put it up on the wailing wall.
No.
And then they're done.
Yeah.
And they're done.
Yeah.
And we're going to address those later in the meeting, but then we're going to be positive. I mean,
then we're going to be positive. We'll get that
said,
out of our system.
Yeah. But it was, yes, get it out of your system.
Did you go up and just straight up scream at it? like a primal scream. You know, like, I want them to fucking respond to my tickets.
In hopes that a ticket.
You just punch the wall.
CMO, MMO, yeah. KT.
It would be great if it's like some sort of primal. Like
they are bruised, by the way.
We should definitely get. We should definitely get a punching bag in our office.
Oh, I would love that.
We have one. There's Gavin. He's in the corner.
Oh, yeah, that's yeah. right. Or like a confessional booth.
A confessional, like real world.
Like they have a real
like
world.
That.
Yeah.
I probably would pay to have a union person hang a punching bag in our office. That would be awesome.
That would be fun. It's good exercise.
God.
You might need that.
They're actually pretty cheap. I just bought one for my kids.
Yeah,
so if you can hang it, they're
too.
Actually really
like
cheap.
Like an R2-D2 blow up one, they can punch?
I got them an actual punching
bag. So do you just hold
bag.
It up?
No, I...
heavy.
They're well, for kids, it's supposed to be like...
it's a blow up one. Yeah.
It's supposed to be one third of your weight, I guess.
Huh.
So for the kids, we got like a 20 pounder. Which is still like rather big, actually, yeah. believe it or not. And we put it into like a rafter in the ceiling in the right. basement.
So what is Rocky punch then?
I think they can punch like heavyweight fighters can punch like 60-pound bags.
Oh, well,
that's a lot for somebody that isn't.
60-pound bag is a big
yeah.
bag. Okay, all right. Good to know.
And then, like, some heavyweight fighters could even go up to 100, but, you know.
I mean, that whiteboard doesn't get used anymore.
Right behind my desk. We got room. Right.
Ooh, 100-pound punching bag is only $120 on Amazon.
100's a lot. That's tough to move.
Okay.
I believe that's tough to move. So we're looking into punching bags. That's a good thing.
I don't think that's a good thing.
So where are we on the what?
The only thing I wanted to make sure we covered was
transformation.
Encryption. No,
encryption with iPhones, or what are we talking about here?
Google came out with some encryption
stuff,
too.
The iPhone, the Apple, the Google, the whole
yep.
world of encryption, whether or not we should be secure or not, or can we have freedom without security, and that whole debate.
Well, yeah, and
I think it was a big topic this week because 60 Minutes covered it. John Oliver covered it.
Yep.
It's kind of the thing to talk about, whether or not...
He got off saying penetration a bit too much, but yes.
Well, I also think it's layered, you know. Like, I always find it so interesting that I feel Apple and Google, and granted, you know, my wife says I'm a conspiracy theorist, which I don't think I actually am, but I have no trust in big corporations and how they save data.
That's your dad in you. It's fine.
Yeah, yeah. But I do think it's funny that Apple and Google, they say, hey, it's encrypted, and let's... end the conversation. And they never talk about, like, Google shares everything. You know, your email, they run targeted ads through it. You know,
right.
it's encrypted, but it's consumable through certain channels and so on. And I think encryption's important, but I don't think that's the end of the conversation myself.
The phrase that really stuck out to me, which I think is the beginning of the debate, is... can you have freedom without security?
Well, I think you can, yeah.
You can have freedom without security.
Yeah, I think you can, yeah. I mean, I think we have it very good in this country, so we tend to not...
So that means...
You can be a totally...
Without, without being told you have to take your shoes off, your belt, we're going to metal detect you, we're going to do all this stuff on planes.
So you're talking about physical and digital security.
In the whole world, how much security do we need to ensure
Where
does the end of the line of security, where does security end and freedom begin? How much security do we need to have the freedoms that we have today?
Well,
that was a huge statement that was said by the guy in, the guy who's investigating the explosions that happened in Paris.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, listen, America has like 125 phones that they'd like to break into because of encryption, but they can't because of terrorists and whatever. Everybody that did their thing in Paris that was on, you know, a big national thing, we have phones too that we'd like to get into. We have not only those, but others, and we can't get into them.
And
so
personal,
where does security meet freedom?
And personal data is is protected even more stringently in markets outside of this country than it is inside this country. So this is not a uniquely American thing by any stretch.
Mm-hmm. The 60 Minutes piece went into the guy who created the Russian Facebook was basically told, give us your source code, give us your company, give us your everything, mm-hmm. we'll let you stay rich, and you can do what you're going to do.
Yeah.
He said, no, this is like, I can't just give you every picture everybody posts. I can't give you everything that everybody's posting. I'm not going to give you a backdoor into my whole site. And what they ended up doing was marching into his offices, arresting everybody who didn't agree with them, and told him to get out of the country in 48 hours. And they took over the Facebook of Russia. So he went and created the Telegram app, which is a totally encrypted chat app where you can share or do whatever you want with ideas with anybody. Nobody can get into it. And he is basically giving it away for free according to 60 Minutes, at $1 million loss a year. He's losing $1 million. He's paying $1 million a year for the rest of the world to have an encrypted way to send communications. He's losing that money.
And who's using it most?
Terrorists. But I mean that was kind of the gist of the piece, where it's like, well, you're letting terrorists use it too. And he's like, we really try not to. We are monitoring it, we're locking it down, but at the end of the day, yeah, it's there and it's being used. He says it's a small percentage, but because terrorists are able to use it, where do we draw the line? So that's my whole point, is where does security meet freedom? How much security do we want? How much freedom do we want? And that's the ratio that all of us have to determine, and it's not everybody doesn't have the same number.
I do feel that if the government has a warrant, they should be that's done through due process, they should be able to get information if it's technically feasible.
Right.
So
the question is, where does that leave you in the Apple discussion? Because in the Apple discussion, Apple's saying, look, you can get to it. The thing is, we have this protection on our device, which is a personal protection that says, if you fail to log in, it means you don't know what's on this thing. And because it's portable, we don't want that to be lost and captured by some hacker and opened up and used for corporate espionage or anything else. And therefore, if you fail in these 10 attempts, it's going to wash it clean.
Mm-hmm.
Where does that put you? They have the device. Mm-hmm. It's right there. Should there be a way that you can get around that?
I don't think companies should have to bake that in, but I would say, like, if they can provide it, like if they say, like, yeah, we have access to what you're asking for, which I think Apple did do. They gave him his cloud logs and they gave him everything they had.
Basically saying is, we're encrypting stuff at a level that we're letting the world have without being broken. We can create the skeleton key that lets anybody and everybody in, right? I think it's coming at the absolute wrong time in our culture, where I don't think any country believes their government is responsible enough not to abuse the power of, I have access to everybody's everything. I have access to your text messages and all the dick pics you're sending. I have access to all the emails you're sending about the HR lawsuits that you're doing. I have access to everything on earth. Your financials, your this, your that. The government can pick and choose what they want to see, and they can do that. However, if we honestly believe that there is a court of law that is determining what can be seen, it is following a due process statute. Most people would probably say, okay, I trust my government. I let you see all the pictures I'm sharing of my four-year-old. It's not a big deal. It doesn't make a difference to me. I'm not breaking the law. You can go after the guys who are breaking the law and who want to blow up the United Center next time I go see a Blackhawks game. Please catch those guys, because I don't want to be in fear. Please catch those guys. This is the world that we're balancing on right now. Oh, sure. And I think it's coming at a horrible point in that the governments haven't placed enough trust in the hands of anybody to say, trust us, we won't abuse it. Anywhere in the world. Anywhere. Pick the major countries. China, USSR, Russia, Germany, London, UK, United States. You pick whatever country or region you think is doing it. Nobody trusts their government. And that's the problem. The problem is nobody trusts the government with their personal data because they think they'll exploit it to the point where XYZ. Who knows what it's going to be? We're going to fucking post it on TMZ because we hate Kim Kardashian. Oh, we hate Kanye West because he said something bad about Donald Trump. Donald Trump's now the president of the United States. Guess what? Kanye West, you're going to jail for the rest of your life because you tweeted some shit about blah, blah, blah. So, you like that? Yeah, exactly. Let's get everybody riled up right now. But my whole point is nobody trusts their government. So we can't say, hey, government, we want to give you the keys to the castle when we don't trust you. If we trusted you, it would be a different story.
I think what I'm hearing is Dion doesn't trust the government.
Yes.
And he's of the opinion that we should not give governments access like that.
Right.
And Sean, I think you're saying that you're a little more on the fence on that.
In a world where you can trust the government.
I wouldn't say that you have back doors into encryption algorithms. What I would say is if you had a warrant for an account that like Gmail or something would say, okay, we'll reset the password and you can get in. Because you've provided us with a warrant that's signed by a judge. You had probable cause. Like that, I think. But this is the thing. Like, we're acting like somehow our digital life should be safer than our. In my opinion, then what you're saying is you shouldn't have to agree with airport security lines. You shouldn't have to agree with DUI checkpoints. Like, we make concessions all the time about security.
Oh, my God. The best one I want to bring out is there was a Republican senator who I hate. And he made an excellent point, which pisses me off. He basically said,
"What,
Johnny? You ready?"
He wants them all to be stupid.
I'm ready.
John.
I can't wait.
Are you ready for this?
Should I grab my ankles for this? Or yeah. What?
He said, "We have the right to draw blood with a warrant and penetrate your body." He used the word penetrate. We have legally the right to penetrate your body. Why can't we penetrate your email or digital whatever?
Blah, blah, blah. I agree with him. If there's a warrant, I agree.
You know what? Holy shit. I Googled it.
Yeah.
I looked at
they could penetrate
20 minutes
me.
Of work time on Sunday, yeah. Steve.
I can be penetrated.
But he said I can penetrate. And I was like, I gotta Google this. I researched it. I looked it up. And he's absolutely right. The government has the right to draw blood if you were in a state of XYZ. They can draw your blood,
sure,
a warrant, and penetrate your body. Why can't we penetrate your phone? And I was like, you're an asshole. Wait a minute. That makes sense.
Damn you. No, I think it does. I think if they have
Republican conservatives.
I think one of the reasons.
Easy, big fella.
I think one of the reasons why we're so far against it is because the NSA so overstepped years
Agreed.
Just had this vacuum cleaner that took up all our data without a warrant.
Oh, echelon.
But I feel if it's targeted and a judge has said there is
You've given me evidence, and there's due process.
Makes sense.
I think it does. I think this San Bernardino case is very interesting because Apple really doesn't have a method for easily doing this. That's where something I would side with Apple.
So Apple should basically say, listen, government, we'll develop it. It's going to cost.
No, I don't think they should. No, I think. Yeah. No, oh, well, go
it's
ahead.
It's going to cost you $1 billion.
Well, I think as a revenue stream, they could say that. You know, like, sure. I mean, like, you know, like, we're missing out on this. We're leaving money on the table.
We're like three sprints away from a window when we can develop that. And
it's going to take our top guys.
But I'm just saying, like, Apple says it's going to cost us $1 billion because guess what? Somebody's going to probably sue us and we're going to have all this other stuff. $1 billion sounds like the right number.
Apple will do it for the right price, too.
It would probably take, like you said, two sprints.
No, yeah. Believe it or not.
But, I mean, if I were to think that, I would say, listen.
That's what they should do.
We are going to protect America and the world, and we will develop this. But in order to develop it, the government should pay us.
Look, listen, we spend $80 million on these fucking fighter jets that don't even work.
Yeah.
I'm gonna hide $80 billion. I'm going to hide 20 of them. I'm not actually going to buy them. I'm going to send it to you. You're going to write a program.
And Tim Cook
would you know they actually
he
did
wants
that?
To live in space for a year. Okay. It's $1 billion and Tim Cook gets to live in space.
There's a fascinating article. I'll have to try and find it because people aren't going to believe me. But so I read Bruce Schneider's blog a lot. I don't know if you guys are familiar with him. He's a security expert. He was one of the original developers behind a lot of the encryption algorithms we use. And it's called Bruce on Security. It's a fascinating blog. If you don't read it and you're into IT, I highly recommend it.
That's that super smart dude.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got a ponytail. He's got a great classic IT look. Long ponytail. Totally bald.
I'm going for that, by the way. Doing it on, that's my next
You're going to do that?
Yeah.
Great IT look. But anyways... he and other people found evidence that so one of the ways that NSA back in the day was able to there were a lot of reports in the Snowden documents that they had penetrated they beat HTTPS that they could get encrypted traffic. And they found one of the cert manufacturers, I don't know if it was RSA, I forget which one, but they found that like they were teetering on the collapse of bankruptcy and all of a sudden they had like $1 billion. I mean, I know this sounds like a conspiracy theory, but like Bruce Schneider, who's works at MIT and many other people feel that the NSA actually paid them to say, give us the keys and we will save your company. And it's fascinating.
Wow.
You know, that actually, we're joking about it.
Yeah.
But that might have happened where a company used that as a revenue stream.
I'm going to look.
I'll try and find the link and then I'll share it in our Slack channel and
that'd be
we
great.
Can post it to
that'd
the.
Yeah. I'd like to see that.
But what an interesting revenue channel. You know?
So can we perhaps take a lighter turn?
Let's do it.
Oh, you want to get off your later. Soapbox? Yeah. Or?
Yes.
No, my soapbox is broken. Let's just go.
Let's talk a little bit about movies. You brought up Ghostbusters.
Oh, yeah.
I did a Ghostbusters reference,
Though. I think it's going to be completely horrible and suck ass.
What are you talking about?
Ghostbusters?
Yeah. Really?
Okay.
Oh, well...
So we got a sucks ass here. Has anybody seen the trailer?
I've seen the trailer.
Thumbs down.
Thumbs down on the trailer?
I've not seen it.
I don't know. I don't think you could tell too much from a trailer. I think everybody in it's funny. I think it has, I'd say, a 6 out of 10 chance of being a good movie.
60%. That's disappointing because I was looking for 80% chance of a good movie.
6 out of 10 makes me think because I'm like it's borderline gonna suck, right?
It's so hard to follow up the originals.
It is. Yeah. I mean, I will say this: Ghostbusters 2 wasn't even that great. You know, it had its moments.
But,
its moments.
The cast was great. I mean, Morales.
Well, and I do like the cast of this
Dan
new
Aykroyd.
One.
Yeah.
Well, you had Rick Moranis, who's amazing. You know.
You know what they need to do is. They need to show me they're going to link
this
back.
Is going to become heavy again.
They're
going
to link back to what we love about the original Ghostbusters. Show me a Stay Puft Marshmallow. Show me a Dan Aykroyd. Show me a Bill Murray. And make me go, oh, I remember that and love that. And, okay, all these women will be funny. I trust you now. They haven't shown me that. Because the minute preview that I saw was shit. And I was like, this is a horrible SNL segment trying to mock Ghostbusters. And I'm like, I'm not.
Well, We'll see. I tend to like the opposite direction. I don't like too much deference to the original. Like, I like them to sort of just say, you know what, reclaim it.
But you did appreciate the Star Wars.
I did, but I thought it had too much deference to the originals. I will say I'm in the minority. I tend to like to just say, you know what, just totally reinterpret it. Go in a 100% different direction. Do whatever you want. And that tends to be the minority. Most people really, all they really want to see is a borderline nostalgic mashup.
How are you the guy who studies philosophy and the history and then say, fuck history, do something new?
Well, I don't know. That's how you make new history.
Oh, brilliant.
Because he's the guy. It doesn't matter.
I'll say whatever the fuck I want to say.
So let's... working for Trump. So let's go to a similar indie... Indiana Jones.
Talked about this morning.
That's funny.
So hang on. It's in the same genre, the same family.
Yeah, yes.
It's not a reboot, per se, but... What?
Go ahead.
So
we already talked about this today, but go ahead.
So my favorite quote about this was CJ's
what did he say?
Did you see what CJ said?
Oh, yeah. Didn't he say
he said, it's fine and normal. Everybody thinks it would be cool to have a 75-year-old president, but a 75-year-old Indiana Jones?
He's going to be 77 when the movie comes out.
He's an architect.
That's not going to work.
Yeah. Archaeologist, I'm sorry.
There's two points I want to make. First point, Harrison Ford's going to remake every movie he ever did and then get killed in every remake so he can hand it off to whomever is going to... He's going to pass the torch. My second point I want
to
make
I'm looking forward to American Graffiti then.
Yeah. Go on. Blade Runner, everything. But he's gonna get killed off and carry on. Sorry, spoiler alert for Force Awakens. And
this stage, come on.
I was the last person to see it, so don't worry. I saw it.
The other point I wanted to make was:
is there gonna be a crystal skull? That's what I'm. Yeah. Oh, sorry.
The funniest meme I saw was a Indiana Jones hatted Harrison Ford sitting at a table in the Who Shot First Han Solo Greedo position at a Denny's Early Bird Special. So
that's good.
It was Indiana Jones, you know, Early Bird Special, sitting at a Denny's in the position of Who Shot First, me or Greedo. And I was like, yes, that's perfect. That's exactly what the sixth installment of Indiana Jones
So what should Indiana Jones 5 be? Steven Spielberg signed on.
He must die.
It'll be, I don't know. I didn't
a snake should bite or choke his ass to death.
I hate snakes.
And then he basically could be like, I hate snakes.
I liked the first half of Crystal Skull. I didn't like the second half.
The end special effects wise was like, oh my god, you're gonna do that to a pyramid? Spoiler alert.
But I will also say that The Last Crusade with Sean Connery the old guard was an amazing movie.
So
maybe if you use that dynamic, where now Indiana Jones is like an old
playing that role,
his dad, even though he had this badass life in his youth, is now like afraid of everything.
Yeah,
and, I don't know.
Best scene to me in that movie was when Sean Connery's like, "Yeah, I banged the same chick you're banging, son." And it was like, yeah, dad. And it was like, oh, dad. Yeah, dad. That was my favorite part.
I agree.
Yeah.
It can be played well.
Yeah.
Shia LaBeouf in this thing,
they
too?
They can figure it out. And you figure Spielberg, please no on the Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah.
You figure in Spielberg's hands that they'll find a way to make it worthwhile. But there is that whole, you know what? I liked my youth. Why do you people keep trying to ruin my youth?
Yeah.
Move on.
We're talking, I'm sure the observation has been made a bunch of times, but like me and my buddies were talking about like how, like, you know, if you look at it, he's got to be like the world's worst archaeologist. You know, and that like half the stuff just crumbles.
Oh, yeah.
You know, after he's done, you know, and he's basically killing Nazis like he's a Delta Force, you know, soldier.
There's got to be some war crimes in there. You know, he's probably got a lot of years in prison.
Well, that'll be interesting. So if they realistically set it. So if you assume he was in his, we'll just say optimistically, 20s in World War II.
Oh, yeah.
Then that would mean, you know, that what? He's now in his, like, it's going to take place in the 1960s or 70s, right? You know, like Vietnam, Watergate.
And really, I think he was probably supposed to be closer to his, you know,
30s. Yeah, he seemed like an established professor.
Mid-30s.
Agreed.
Maybe pushing 40. Yeah. He was not in
so
his
20s. Or maybe they'll even set it in the 1980s. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see where they set it. Because what was weird about the Crystal Skull is it seemed to be set just... Even though it only came out a few years ago, it seemed to be set only a few years after the original trilogy ended. They kind of didn't dignify the fact, I felt, that Harrison Ford was 40 years old or
that much
whatever.
Older. Yeah.
But I feel they'll have to this time.
Yeah, yeah. But he could, you know, whether or not you believe it or not, he could pull it off.
I'm sure, at that age.
But are they going to make a 75-year-old dude
jumping across, like,
being
I hope
that
not.
Guy. Please don't.
Yeah.
Please
you know,
don't.
Here's the cool thing that I think has already been a precedent for old guys in movies. Sylvester Stallone was given a really cool role in the last Rocky movie where he got to play a different side of Rocky, right?
Yeah. He was still Rocky.
I'm sorry.
No.
Okay. So Sylvester Stallone got to play a different side of Rocky, which almost won him an Oscar, to be honest.
Yeah.
Okay? And I think that's really cool. So if you're able to show a side of Indiana Jones towards the end of his life in a very humanistic way that can appeal to a lot of people and still pass the torch on to the next generation, I think you're going to grab two different age groups. You're going to grab the new generation who says, all right, we got to carry on the torch, and the old generation who says, you know what, that's all we want to have a legacy that lives on beyond our years. And I think that's a huge statement.
I'm not looking forward to this the same way I was looking forward to the Star Wars by any stretch.
But
I'm gonna move on.
What else we got?
10 Cloverfield Lane. Has anybody seen it?
Nope.
I haven't heard from many people. It's amazing, but I have not heard or I've not seen it.
So do you know the story
though?
Can
you just tell me if it links to anything Cloverfield related?
No, I don't. So the story I was told is that a woman wakes up in a house.
No. I don't want that story. She wakes up in a house, and apparently there was some sort of accident or whatever, and she was taken in, and she can't go out for whatever reason. Radiation or whatever is what she's told. But the story of the film...
I have not heard that.
...is the fact that these guys, you know, Bad Robot dropped a trailer a month ago, and everybody went, what the hell is that?
Yeah.
And it's released when?
Yeah.
And now it's released. Like, literally...
Snuck it up on everybody.
Yes.
Yeah.
The whole promotional cycle was compressed.
Yeah.
Whereas you've got Indiana Jones saying, hey, in 2 years, you're going to get a movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Star Wars, that's kind of the pattern. And here's this thing where J.J. Abrams pulled off some magic wizardry again.
Yep.
He was shooting a movie that nobody knew about. And boom, here it is. We're going to say, hey, there's a movie. And here.
That is
incredible in and of itself.
Well, he did that with the first... My good friend had his break in the first one. My good friend TJ holds the camera in the first one, and he almost got fired.
We love TJ.
Because it was filmed in New York. He flew to New York, and he went out at some bar after filming. And J.J. Abrams runs his movie shoots apparently like he's in a CIA black site. Yeah. Like, you can't say anything about it, okay? Mm-hmm. And all, you know, TJ, this is the first movie he's ever been in, and he was just out of beer, like, oh, what brings you to New York? He's like, oh, I'm shooting a movie. Like, what is it? He's like, you know, it's like a monster movie. The guy who does Alias is doing it. That's all he said. Now, it turns out this guy talked to somebody who talked to somebody who talked to a movie blogger, and TJ almost got fired off like a one-sentence innocent comment at a bar. You know, while you talk to the guy next to you waiting for a beer. But I guess he's gotten so good at just, like...
keeping it...
Like, nothing will be released, you know? And, like, so he can... It's kind of brilliant, because then you can control the PR cycle so much better,
Absolutely.
The only statement I've read regarding Cloverfield is blood relative of the original.
like it could be a cousin or something.
Right.
Blood relative. Wow, that's deep.
But like that would. But even in that remark, which seems to be like okay to say by people who work on the movie,
yeah,
a blood relative of the original. So like, oh, okay.
I've heard good things.
Yeah.
I'm eager to see it, and it's one of these movies that because it drops so quickly and because people are a little cagey about talking about it,
yeah,
it's like I better go see it soon.
Yeah.
Can we reference the fact that Cloverfield came out at a time where we were moving into a third-party hosting facility?
Yeah, we referred to that as Cloverfield.
Yeah.
We referred to our third-party hosting facility for all of our production sites as Cloverfield, as the nickname.
Do you know why that is?
As we were getting the stuff there.
Why is it?
No, Steve.
No.
Why don't you tell me?
Seriously, do you know why that is?
No.
Do you remember why that? Do you remember why?
Can you tell me?
It was just. I think it was me, but I could never remember what the hell the name of the facility was. And everybody in New York always referred to it as Karlstadt. It's Karlstadt. It's Karlstadt. And I could never remember it.
New Jersey.
And Cloverfield was coming out, and I just started calling it Cloverfield. So that
I called it Cloverfield forever. Yeah. Well, because Karlstadt is so weird because it's so close to a bunch of other names.
Because I couldn't remember it.
Yes.
They should come up with a better name.
Karlstadt?
No, because it's just named after the city. What's the company, right? Isn't Karlstadt the city it's in?
Karlstadt is the city. The facility is the SunGard facility.
SunGard, okay. Yeah. Maybe that's so, what I mean, should call it.
You know, there's a lot of appropriate things, but it was always just Cloverfield.
Yeah.
And now we're going to 10 Cloverfield Lane, which is where our data center is going to be. And that's spread across the world in the cloud.
In the cloud.
Okay. Amazing. No physical locations.
No physical locations. So that's 10 Cloverfield Lane. And because it came up in some discussions, Batman versus Superman.
Oh, shit. We dropped that on me right there.
What? So
Dion's excited.
I know Dion's very excited, but there was somebody else in that chat who's not in this conversation who was like, "Nah, it sucks, crap."
Well, I was confused by it. It's like, aren't they both good people?
John's confused.
I'm not a comic guy, so I don't get it.
You're confused, John.
I am confused.
Don't get me started.
Yeah, we shouldn't wind.
I think it will be
keep it light
bad, but. We'll
you think
see.
It's going to be bad?
I think it'll be way too long.
Well, the fact that you've got Batman driving a Jeep in commercials.
No, it doesn't bode well. The Jeep worst Batmobile ever fad is like, why is... And let's be clear, in the movie, the car, the limousine that Bruce Wayne is in is destroyed. Therefore, he hops in the next vehicle that's available and drives towards the destruction. It's not the Batmobile. It's not like Batman says, oh my God, the Jeep is the Batmobile. He just hops in a vehicle that's available and drives towards danger in a Jeep, and they say, hey, Batman Superman
coming. Daimler Chrysler and Jeep gave him a lot of money. So that's, what it's about.
Good product, please.
It's like Iron Man, it's all Acura.
It paid for advertising in the movie. I get it. But my whole point is, it's going to be so good.
We'll see. We'll see.
You heard it here first.
You are all going to go in going, oh my God, this is going to suck. It's Batman and Superman fight.
Do you watch Gotham? Do you watch that show?
Batman and Superman are going to fight for like 3.5 minutes, and the rest of the movie is going to blow your mind.
Does anybody watch Gotham?
I don't. I've heard that's good, but I have not seen it, though.
I know what's going on.
Okay. It's interesting. I thought you would have bought in. So.
No, it's the Smallville version of Batman.
Yeah.
It's the pre-Batman comes to town.
Yeah. Smallville felt...
It's darker, though.
Yes, it's much darker.
I know it's way darker.
It's much darker.
I follow the storyline. I don't watch the show. I wish I could.
All right, so we know the answer to the question for Dion, but... It's Batman versus Superman. But for the rest of you guys, what is the next big media event that you're looking forward to?
Wow.
And that could be, you know, I don't care. It could be the Kentucky Derby.
The Republican Convention in Cleveland, Ohio.
Well, yes, we are going to.
I think that might.
That is it. We have a plan for this.
We have to send him.
That's my Justice League movie.
Can we pay to send him there?
Yes, we have to.
This podcast does not garner enough revenue.
All right, so let me play. If you would like Sean to
a GoFundMe.
The Ohio Open.
We'll see what I'm doing that time of year. Maybe I can go down there anyways.
They're going to vote for the presidential nominee in Ohio.
We have to
like
get
to send
in.
Sean there with a camera and
how do we get
Triumph
in
the insult comet dog. He's,
I think I Sean might. Will, you know, if I started making phone calls now, I think I could get in as press.
You gotta do it, dude.
I think I could, yeah.
Sean, everything.
We'll get an invite.
Yeah. To do that because here's what's going to happen.
The worst thing that happens is you don't get. You get in and you don't go.
I've heard no enough of knife
one
love from, enough
2 minute
my life.
Video that you film that's hilarious. And 30 million people see it. You're on Ellen.
That's not how it works. 30 then, million people see it, and then they forget they ever saw it.
And nothing ever comes from it. You're going to be on the Today like, Show. You're going to be on the
People don't say, oh, you know what? I got to follow that guy really closely.
Ellen is all over this, apparently. Deion's got it on good record.
Your in-laws will be happy with you.
I will go for the memories and experience, but that it is not going to further
any careers.
Mostly
because you can go hang out in Cleveland with your
buddies. It's the only time in Cleveland history where the bars are going to be open till 4. They did
All right, I'm gonna
it's a one-time law for that weekend only. The bars are open till 4.
I will drive us in the Camaro to Ohio if you buy me a ticket to the convention.
But sure, you can be my cameraman if I get a press pass.
Done. You get the press pass, I'm your cameraman. All right. I'm in.
I'll email one of the guys at the plane dealer. I'll email him today.
I'm not even shitting you.
We might have to come up.
This is not Drunk Deion saying I would do something.
It is Drunk Deion. It's not Drunk Deion.
This is something I've thought about pre being drunk.
I love this pitch to your wife about why you're going to be gone for a week.
Dude, I pitched her on Toledo, Motley Crue. I can get there for
the Republican convention as a cameraman.
Done.
Okay, fair enough. Done. I can at least bring my whole family there and tell my wife, oh, we're going to see family. So it's an easier pitch for me.
No. I have a camera and Sean needs me. I'm there.
I love this idea.
Top down, 140 miles an hour. Brilliant. We'll be
John,
there in 4 hours.
We need to start working on the new t-shirts because
we do.
Because we can't use our current t-shirt. I think we may be in logo violation somewhere. With
probably.
The current.
So
we're good.
We'll come up with another one.
I can come up with a new design.
We'll
no
come
problem.
Up with something new. I wasn't pinning that on you.
Oh, no, but I like design t-shirts.
The cameraman wearing a WWIT /PBR t-shirt.
We're here with Worldwide IT guys. Wouldn't it be great if you somehow like got like actual big wigs, like you're just talking to Chris Christie? You know, like
you
the guys
totally
that the,
that.
Yeah, yeah, the real news
dude,
doesn't want to
like
talk
the
to.
The Daily Show, they just walk up and be like, dude, we're from so-and-so.
Yeah, yeah.
My question. And you're like, the more persistent and...
It'd probably...
Like,
that would be funny.
We're going to do it. It's done.
It's going to happen.
I'll see if I can get us press.
What are the dates of that?
I think it's July 13th, I want to say. It's like the second week. It's after July 4th.
Well, our listeners can talk about just how into the whole political process we are. This is a political podcast, so. So that's the next big media event for everybody.
I'm thinking tank tops.
No.
Tank tops would be funny.
No, thank you.
Let's just put it, let's be clear. So we've got a draft in Chicago for the NFL. We've got Stanley Cup playoffs coming to Chicago. We've got Olympics that we're going
to
watch.
Not coming to Chicago.
But that's your Chicago. We fucked that up. But, like, there's a lot of things.
There's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, we've got things that we'll be able to talk about media-wise in the next 6 months.
Oh, yeah. I'm not worried that there aren't enough things.
Apple's going to make some announcement about a watch or a phone or a thing in the next 2 weeks.
And Gavin's Gavin's watch will be obsolete already.
Oh, Gavin's going to be pissed. He's going to be so pissed.
So, John, was there any reason to talk about vendor scum?
There were some good ones this week.
You guys had good ones.
We talked about...
I just had whores that wanted to, like, talk to me and call me and
you
say,
got what?
Why don't you call me ever?
A good one. There was a Superman versus Batman one, wasn't there?
Yeah. Tell us about that one, Deion.
Yeah.
I didn't get that one.
Oh.
I wish I got that one.
Somebody else shared that.
God, I wish I was invited to see Superman Batman because I would have said, sure.
Well, we talked about how vendors always kind of, like, word their emails by what's going on in the world. So
the first one that we loved was the Star Wars one.
Right.
So we were
asking, like, it's just a matter of time before we start getting NCAA emails. And Gavin actually got the first one yesterday. He got invited to a viewing party by some vendor at a bar in Chicago here.
Really?
To go watch basketball and have cocktails with this vendor.
Why don't you guys go to that?
This is Friday. It's at Cactus, so maybe we should go.
Where's Cactus?
It's an option.
Yeah, so.
It's down the loop, down the south end of the loop. Southwest.
So I got one the other day. I thought this was funny. It kind of hits at home. The subject was, it turns out IT change can be fun. Meet Frank.
Don't we know it.
And Frank, their mascot, is a little mouse. So that's Frank, the IT change mouse.
It's lovely.
So
no more boring IT changes.
No more boring IT changes.
Frank, that may be our image for this week's podcast.
Because you know, IT changes are boring, and they don't have to be. They can be fun.
Not here, they're not.
I will say that they are not boring here.
Exactly. Sure. So, I thought that was kind of funny.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. So I'll send you the link.
Then send me that one. You don't have the Batman Superman one.
I do not.
No, it was they started off good with superhero lingo, but then they only did it for a sentence. They sort of half-assed it, you know. They're like, do you want to be a superhero of big O notation and handle your data right? Well, come watch us. And then it was just over. Oh, you know, like, they had a real chance to, like, you know, bring kryptonite and the bat signal and everything into the email. And
so much potential.
Yeah, yeah. And then they sort of, those are the best ones where they fully invest in it for the entire pitch.
Like when they did the Yoda.
Yeah, exactly. And the Batman vs. Superman was really just the opening line.
Well, that's a shame. We have probably got to start wrapping this. So I don't know if you guys have anything that we didn't get to that you wanted to talk about.
Not for me. I don't believe so.
No. Did you guys talk about Connie, the hostess that was going to be Watson powered? Did you guys ever talk about that last week?
About that.
I don't remember.
No, what's this? Like a party hostess?
Well, maybe we'll talk about that.
Okay.
We could bring up that Dion, the first ever 4K broadcast is going to happen, and he has the TV for it.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm wondering.
Oh, is it the Masters?
The Masters. Yeah. So will your football button turn into a golf button? That's what I want to know.
No, so what happens with the Masters this year is I have DirecTV, so I get 4K special channels to watch the Masters on.
Ooh.
I have no idea what the fuck that means, but I'm assuming it's going to look amazing, and I won't have to push the football button.
So are you setting aside your entire schedule for the – do you even like golf?
I do like golf. I do like watching golf. It's something that on Sundays – so, you know, for many years –
he sleeps. He goes to –
I was going to say, it's going to put you to sleep faster.
The best nap.
The best
dad's
nap.
Dad's ever had.
The birds will be chirping in the background. And
I'm Italian. I go to my dad's house, and I have dinner on Sundays with my family.
Mastaccioli.
Exactly. Meatballs.
Big meatballs.
So we watch golf or whatever's happening in sports on Sunday. However, exactly. However, usually it's something exciting like football or whatever. When the Masters come on, I'm going to try to invite my dad over to see what
we've heard
4K looks like.
In 4K.
We've heard about your Super Bowl parties. You're going to actually have this at one of your house?
A Masters party?
Masters party at your house?
Wow.
I'm going to have a Masters party in my house in 4K. Yay. I'll have my dad show up. He'll be like, you know, that looks great. I could actually see the grass blades, but...
do you have to wear golf attire?
You going
to
order a pizza? What's going on here?
Everybody's got yellow sweaters.
Everyone's got knickers on?
The Mastaccioli wore off. Time for some pizza.
We all wear green jackets. I thought that was pretty cool. The only reason why I say that's cool is because it's a live event broadcast in 4K, and that's pretty new to technology.
Sure.
Yeah.
So I'm just to be able to see something in 4K on my TV is pretty cool because I have a 4K TV. It's Sony. I'm supposed to have blah blah blah. The only other thing that excites me is, and I'm trying to find it and then confirm, is I read that the Star Wars The Force Awakens release on Blu-ray was going to have a 4K edition. Can't find it.
Oh yeah.
Don't know if it's like a bonus or included in every Blu-ray they sell. So I'm trying to confirm before I buy any Star Wars The Force Awakens release Blu-ray edition in April that it's the 4K version. Because I have a a 4K Blu-ray. I have a 4K TV. I want to see what Star Wars looks like in 4K.
He's got the technology. He just needs the content.
I need the content. So, but the funny thing is I've been getting emails and I've seen on TV all over the place that I'm going to be able to watch golf. The first 4K content that I'll ever see is fucking golf.
Sounds great.
The Masters, it'll put you to sleep.
It's going to be in 7.1 surround. It's going to be 4K.
Well, that doesn't make any sense.
And I'll just be like, oh my God, it's going to be...
Jeez, it sounded like that golf ball landed behind me. That was amazing.
And Jeff Spieth steps up to strike the ball.
I think it was Jordan.
Or Jordan whatever. Spieth. And he strikes the ball. And he's on the green.
Thank you, Jim Nantz.
Sorry. Yeah, but I mean, that's Jim Nantz. It's just kind of like, okay,
not
great.
Jim Nantz.
But so I'm like excited to see live 4K content, but thinking, where's the Star Wars content? That's really what I care
that's
about.
That's what I want.
That's all you care about.
That's all I care about.
I understand. So. All right, well, I really think we should wrap. So thank you very much for ending this on such a riveting 4K note. Are we all invited?
Anybody who wants to see golf in 4K,
come down.
We should totally
crash. I'm getting knickers for this.
If I will blow this up.
I'll come in Payne Stewart.
Yeah, Payne Stewart attire.
We'll serve, what's the Kentucky Derby? Mint
juleps. Mint juleps.
Absolutely.
I'll serve mint juleps.
I do like mint juleps.
I'll serve that shit. Yeah. However, if you're interested in seeing Star Wars in 4K, and it is released in 4K...
Fuck you, you're not invited.
I will also host a viewing party for Star Wars The Force Awakens in 4K.
I'll have my son dress as a caddy.
For Star Wars, that would make absolutely no sense.
Golf party. They have a little white suit, walk around.
Adorable.
Can he be dressed as BB-8?
Our last name on the back? Yeah, you can do that too. Yeah.
Anyways, either way, if there's 4K content that anybody's interested in, you're always welcome to come by the house. So. And that goes for Leo.
Oh, Leo's allowed too.
Leo, if you want to travel halfway around the entire world.
You can't expense it though. Yeah.
Absolutely not.
I missed a call out last week for Daniel. Daniel's been a valuable part of our team. He's leaving, and I want to make a special shout out to Daniel. Good luck and God bless.
Did you mean to use his last name?
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
It'll probably be trimmed, but that's fair. Thanks very much for all you've done, and I can't believe you're listening if you are. He doesn't even listen to this crap. What, are you kidding me?
We're blowing up, Steve. You have no idea. You have no idea who I share this with.
Thanks again for listening. We are the Worldwide IT Guys, www.itguys.com. Check us out on Twitter. We're not very active. Bye.
Thanks, everybody.
Goodbye.
No goodbye from you, John.
What did I do? Bye.
Pathetic.
Sorry.
Yeah. Real nice, John.